June 6, 1985. This time last year I was in Normandy. I suppose many of them will be there again, standing on Sword Beach, or Juno, or Gold, La Romanches, La Hamel, La Riviere, Berniers, St. Alban, Ouistreham, or in the famous café at Pegasus Bridge, the first place in France to be liberated. Oh, some go every year. The beaches, the towns, the fields, the orchards, all these are still a part of their lives. They're a part of my life. But last year they came very strange to me. I hadn't been there for 40 years. Should I have gone back or stayed away?
Roads in Normandy by Douglas Livingstone. With Ronald Pickup, Mick Ford, Trevor Nichols, Brenda Vladin, and Douglas Livingstone.
Intended to go back. I never admitted I'd been avoiding it, not even to myself. But the last 10 years we've been abroad a lot. Italy, Spain, Corfu. But we didn't go to Normandy. And then one night in April 84 we were taken out to dinner by Harry Price. It was supposed to be a social occasion, but I was hoping to get a contract from him, and I knew the dinner was so he could look me up and down. Trouble was, I badly needed his business, and Mary, my wife, knew I needed it. We needed it.
Oh, it's a wonderful dinner, isn't it, David?
Mm, it's very nice.
I think it's the best chicken I've ever had.
Yes. Pierre's very, very proud of his poulet à la crème. Mm,
it's wonderful. Isn't it, David?
It's very nice.
Pierre, is he French, then?
Oh, yeah. Comes from Bayeux. His brother keeps a restaurant just outside Bayeux. Got a star in the Michelin. Ooh,
I wonder why the French are such wonderful cooks.
Oh, especially the Normans. Now, if you want my opinion, you can travel the world, but you can't beat the cooking in Normandy.
Here we are, boys. Fresh leg of pork.
You're not going to eat that.
I ain't going to shove it up the other end. This is good fresh pig.
You sure it's fresh?
Use your nose, use your head. Nose says it's all right. Ed says it must be. We didn't start shelling it last night, did we? This pig weren't blasted a bit till then. You wait till it's cooked. Be lovely. Have some, Pete.
Pete, you can't eat that.
I take your point, Dave. As it looks just now, I don't fancy it. But when it's over the fire and that smell starts to come...
That's it, boys. That's it.
I doubt I'll be able to resist.
You feel the same, Dave?
No, thanks. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Swipe me, swipe me. It's disgusting.
He does an excellent crepe Suzette. Ooh. Oh, yes, flambéed at the table. You'll have one, Mary.
Oh, yes, please. Sounds wonderful.
And you, Dave, yes?
Yeah. Oh, no, no, thank you.
Oh, come on.
No, really, thank you.
David's always had a small appetite.
Oh, don't know what you're missing. So then, that's two crepe Suzette, and to go with it, yes, a bottle of number 16, the Chateau Yquem.
Oh,
thank you, sir.
Have you ever eaten in Normandy, Dave? You couldn't have a small appetite over there.
Oh, David was in Normandy during the war. He went over on D-Day.
Good God, well, so did I. Which unit were you with, eh?
The Morvans.
The Morvans? You never were.
He was.
Oh, blimey, what a small world. So was I.
You were.
Yes, of course I was. Which battalion, eh?
The second.
Ah, oh, I was with the first. Still, what a coincidence, eh? And both of us in London. Not many Morvans here.
David and I moved to London soon after the war.
Yes, well, I've always lived here. I joined the Morvans because my father was in them. He said what a damn good mob they were, and they certainly were. Though, R, I mean. R. You're going on the big one, of course, Dave.
I'm sorry?
Well, the do. The 40th. H.M. the Queen is out of Manches. You signed up for that.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, how many times have you been back, eh?
Back?
Yeah, well, over there. You know, the Normandy beaches.
Oh, I've never been back.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, this has got to change. You're going this year. I'm seeing to that. You are coming with me. I shall fix it all up, all on me. All of it. And I won't hear a word.
No, right.
No,
really,
I won't hear a word. No, you don't know what you're missing. Well, it's just like it was. The friendship, the spirit, the camaraderie. Yes, that's what the Morvans are all about. More like a family than anything else. You are coming back to the family, Dave.
Kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Tuck me in my little wooden bed. We all love you, Sergeant Major. When we hear your holler, show a leg. Don't forget to wake me in the morning and bring me in a nice hot cup of tea. Or blimey, kiss me goodnight, Sergeant Major. Sergeant Major, be a mother to me.
What a lovely dinner.
What a boring man. We have to fight the war for people like him.
That's a little bit pompous, David. He fought the war too. And he's very successful. Why shouldn't he be?
Well, I voted for Attlee. We had other ideas.
Perhaps he voted for Attlee. Anyway, he's taking you to Normandy. It's very kind of him.
I've no intention of going to Normandy.
Not going?
No.
Oh, come on, David. Think about it. I mean, apart from anything else, he's bound to give you the contract if you've been to that reunion with him. Wouldn't have the cheek not to.
Look, from the day I left the army, I'd not been back. I did my stint. That was it.
You've only got to ask.
You ask?
I have asked.
You asked one.
Well, she said no. Hey, what about those two over there? Ask them.
You ask them.
Yeah. Oh, too late. Look. The army's moving in.
Well, you wouldn't have asked them anyway.
Well, I've asked before you. I don't know why we come. They only want to dance with uniforms.
Well, anyway, Dave, we deserve better than this ribby bunch. Show me a face to launch 1,000 ships and burn the Atlas Towers of Ilium.
In this town, Pete.
Perhaps if we went to Hereford. I'm thinking, we should volunteer.
Volunteer?
Why not?
What for? To get a dance?
I'm quite serious. They'll call us up soon anyway.
Oh, aye, too soon. You wait for that.
If we volunteered, we could go together. It probably wouldn't if we got called up. Your birthday's 5 months earlier than mine.
Aye, there is that, I suppose.
Volunteer? We can join the Malverns. Everyone says they're a decent crowd.
Rue, bloody Britannia.
What? I don't see the point in hanging about. If we've got to go, let's go. It'd be best to meet together, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Be a bit more excitement than stuck in this dump.
Squad! Squad! Attend! Wait for it! Wait for it! Shut! Squad, slow! Oh! 1, 2, 3! 1, 2, 3! 1! Squad, by the light! Quick! March!
Sergeant Floyd. Would he be there if I went back? What about Bill and Arthur, Frank, Tim, Corporal Roberts, Major Morris? I didn't have to fight to bring the names back because they'd never left me.
Hello?
Hello, Dave. Harry Price.
Oh, hello there.
Well, it's all fixed up. Sail from Portsmouth, 1500 hours, June the 4th. Yes, we'll take the train down there, meet the boys on board. First parade is in the ship's bar. Oh, be wonderful, Dave. You won't know what's hit you. You won't know what's hit you.
Unfortunately, Harry didn't know what hit him. It was a taxi, actually. He'd come out of his favourite restaurant after a little too much chateau whatever, stepped off the curb too soon, and wham, woke up in hospital. It could have been worse. broken ankle and two cracked ribs. But Harry wasn't going to Normandy. Not this time he wasn't. He insisted I had my ticket, though. Take your camera, Dave. Bring me back the snaps and a full report. Mary said it would put him under obligation. I didn't quite see why he'd paid for the trip. But now I wanted to go. So I went.
He either fears his fate too much, or his deserts are small, who dare not put it to the touch to win or lose it all. Good luck to each one of you, and good hunting on the mainland of Europe.
That was the personal message from General Montgomery, the CNC of the 21st Army Group. It was to be read out to all troops before they set off on the greatest invasion the world has ever known.
I was waiting to board the ferry for France and found myself beside this girl who was spouting into a tape recorder.
And D-Day was, of course, on June 6th. 40 years have passed. It is June 4th, 1984, and I'm standing on the quay at Portsmouth Harbour as once again a vast army is...
Are you the courier?
Sorry?
For battlefield tours.
No.
Oh, good Lord, I'm sorry. I've interrupted, have I?
That's right.
Were you talking in... Are you from television?
No, I'm from radio.
Oh, radio, really? I listen to radio a lot. Can't think when I last missed the Archers. I prefer that to the team.
Mate. Have you seen the Durhams?
The Durhams, no.
Oh, I'm with the Durhams. Can't find them anywhere. Have you seen the Durhams?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
There's some commandos in the refreshment room.
Oh, no use to me. I want the Durhams.
Excuse me. Tell you what did annoy me, though. When they changed the repeats from early in the morning... Oh, there's my lot. Must go. See you later, baby. Come in the room.
It is June 4th, 1984, and I'm standing on the quay at Portsmouth Harbour as once again a vast army is loaded onto ships that will take them to Normandy. There are men from England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales, from all parts of what was once the British Empire, and of course from the United States of America. They have come in large regimental parties. They have come in small groups of friends. Some have brought their wives or their sons or their daughters. Others have simply come alone. But they all have one thing in common. A certain something about their bearing, about the way they carry themselves, a something that says, I was a soldier, or a sailor, or an airman. I fought for my country, and I was proud to... Oh, hell, Edit!
The Black Watch put an end to her, as far as I was concerned, anyway. I followed the pipes and moved towards the boat. Was her babbling going to be typical? Is this the way the world wants to see us? Marvellous relics of a glorious age. Stout hearts, straight backs, and, of course, short hair. We who set off for France with fire in our bellies. Cry God for Winston, England, and St. George.
Bloody Yanks. Can't get away from them. You know what happened over there? We'll do the work, they'll take the glory. Overpaid creeps. Talk to yourself in this billet tonight.
We're writing letters.
What's the point in that? Bound to censor half of it out. You got your little note, post back D-Day. Dear Mum, Mrs. Dave, I have survived. Come as a shock if you copied on D+1.
Hey, that's all very funny, Bill. Leave it out.
Oh, let's all leave it out. Cut the nappy, join the others for a drink.
You go, we're busy.
I can't go, I'm skint. You'd always lend me half a dollar, I suppose.
You still owe me 2 bob.
I wasn't talking to you, bird shit. I was talking to Pete. Oh, come on, Pete, I've only got this froggy money, I won't take that.
I tell you what, Bill, to get rid of you, I'll swap your 2 bob for 20 francs, all right?
Yeah, all right. I don't reckon this will be any use over there. Here you are.
Well, there you are.
Ta, your funeral. Darling Shirley. Very nice. Bit of all right, is she?
Mind your own, Bill.
You're writing her a poem.
Please, mind your own.
You want to put Norwich on the bottom. N-O-R-W-I-C-H. Nick us off ready when I come home. See you, Shakespeare.
Dear, what a goofhead.
Oh, I don't mind, Bill. He didn't mean any harm.
He's still a goofhead.
Well, Well, he's right about one thing. Puts you off writing letters when you know some twerp's going to read them first.
Yeah, especially love letters.
Don't you start.
Sorry. Anyway, you know, I don't see the point in censoring now. I mean, time she gets that letter, there'll be no more secrets left. We'll be in France and Jerry will know it.
Yeah, if it's not just another exercise.
What, do you think it is?
No. I'm afraid we're on our way.
Be the first time I've ever been abroad.
Well, they do say travel broadens the mind.
Hey. You in love with her?
What, Vera Lynn?
Surely.
Oh, you know me, Dave. I'm a great romantic.
Ah, means you are.
Means I don't know. Wouldn't be surprised. We had a great time last leave.
You saw enough of her anyway.
How'd you know?
I mean, time you spent with her.
Oh, was you lonely?
I had my own amusements, Tom.
Rita Dawson.
Blimey, come off it. Hey, is she in love with you?
Who?
Shirley.
I don't know. Shouldn't be surprised.
And, well, how far is it? Well, have you... You know what I mean.
I thought you'd never ask.
Well, I'm asking now.
And I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on, Pete.
It's all right, Dave. Don't fret. Your pound's quite safe. You'll make it there before I do.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Have a woodbine.
Ta.
No, Dave. I took heed of what you said.
Huh?
That's not fair on a girl to get her that involved when we're going out to fight.
Well, I think that's right.
Sadly, I agree with you. You're setting fire to Hitler.
Ta. I'm shit scared, Pete.
That's no need to be. We have been thoroughly trained for battle. We have faith in our leaders, faith in the plan. We're about to deliver the coup de grace and all that rubbish. Oh, I'm pretty scared too.
Operation Overlord. They don't want to watch that. They want to talk to us.
Ah, too right they do.
You know, I was thinking the other day, do you remember when we was waiting off the Isle of Wight?
Piccadilly Circus.
Right. That padre came on board and gave the communion on deck.
Right.
And all the wafers blew overboard.
Oh, right.
Remember what he said? Yeah. God bless the fishes. That's what he said.
I stood on the deck watching Southsea move past and hearing the stories going on all around me. The time before I'd watched the shore move away. But it was all very different then. For a start, Pete was there. This time I should have been going below, joining the faces in the ship's bar. Ah, to hell, why not just stay where I was, stay by myself? Who wants to bring back all that?
Excuse me, sir.
Sorry?
Oh, my name's Thelma Carter. I'm a freelancer.
Oh, yes, I know. You're the radio girl.
Oh, you know me.
I was listening to you on the quay.
Oh, I see. May I ask if you're a D-Day veteran, sir?
I suppose so, yes.
Oh, good. Well, I'm trying to put together a programme about the 40th anniversary, but, you know, concentrating on the human side. So what I want to do is talk to some people who were there on D-Day and hear how they felt then and any stories they want to tell, how they feel about going back. So just a tick while I switch the recorder on. Now, sir, may I ask your name?
No, I'm sorry, you may not.
Oh, well, that's not really important. Would you mind telling me...
No, I'm sorry, I'm not being rude, but I would mind telling you. I'm supposed to be on parade in the bar. Will you excuse me?
Oh...
Two double scotch, one brandy, one light ale, one Guinness, two lagers, a and a gin and lime.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we just pulled away from the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
I saw this marine fellow having a bath.
Yeah.
Strip wash in a basin, that's what it was. Good grief, what you doing that for, I said. Be in action in 12 hours, he said. Stand more chance of getting over a wound if you keep your body clean, he said.
Yeah.
Well, I was a greenhorn, and this fellow was. I had a wash down straight away.
Yeah. No, no, not him. He wasn't one of us. I stood in the bar, the stories all around me, trying to pick out any faces I knew. I would recognize them, wouldn't I? Of course I would.
The first time I'd ever seen a Durex. Only on the bar myself. No, I saved the packet. And there we were, all issued with them. To put our watches in. It's a great idea, of course.
No, no, so, not him. Can't be, can he? Wrong part of the world. Where the hell are they?
Where are they? Two lagers, two Guinness, one whiskey water, one G&T, one orange by itself.
Get some peanuts, Bill.
A packet of peanuts. Order received and transmitted, Arthur.
Bill? Arthur? No, that's not Bill. That's not Arthur, no. Hundreds of Bills, hundreds of Arthurs. Our Bill was thin and had curly hair. This bloke's fat and very nearly bald. Our Arthur was ginger. This one's grey. They haven't recognised me. They're bound to recognise me. Or would they? Oh, good God, yes, I haven't changed much. I'm hardly geriatric. I'm only 61. So where the hell are they?
Excuse me, mate, you got a light?
Oh, yes, of course. Just a minute.
Oh, thank God. Someone else not giving up?
Well, I keep trying.
What are the Woody Brigade? We're stuck with the Gaspers till we die. Well, when did you go in?
Oh, D-Day.
Ah, so did we. Another one of us.
Yeah.
What outfit?
The Morvans.
The Morvans?
Here. I know you.
Do you?
I do know you, don't I?
Well, I'm not...
No, don't tell me. I'll get it. Hang about. You'll come. Who are you?
My name's David Birdshaw.
Good God.
It's Birdshaw. Of course it is.
I knew I knew him.
I thought I did too.
Oh, come on, you must remember me, Bill Harris.
Arthur Mead.
You're Bill and Arthur?
Of course we are. Really, how do you think we are? Bloomin' heck, I can't get over this. Thought of you lots of times.
Talked about it.
Yeah, you and your mate, you know. What's his name?
Pete Garrett.
Yes, Pete Garrett, yes.
That's right, Pete Garrett.
Birdshaw. Blimey, I can't get over it.
Birdshaw.
Well, you call me Birdshit.
Do we really?
You did.
Well, we all had nicknames.
All of us, yeah.
Anyway, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
And we were all so close.
We were. Had to be. Especially that time in the orchard. Remember the orchard?
Oh, yes. I remember the orchard.
Yeah, well, don't suppose... No need to go back on that. Look, there's Major Morris over there. And Jim Floyd, Sergeant Floyd. You remember them? Major Morris, sir, over here, sir. You'll never guess who this is. It's Dave Birdshit. Birdshaw. You remember them, sir?
Birdshaw?
You remember Birdshaw, sir, in our company.
Well, I don't suppose you remember me, sir.
Birdshaw. Good Lord, yes. How are you, Birdshaw?
Hello, Sergeant.
Birdshaw. Oh, good heavens, yes.
Helped save my life, did Birdshaw.
That's right, yes. You with Bill and Arthur and, yes.
Pete Garrett, sir.
Garrett, yes. Oh, yes, Birdshaw, I remember you.
Pleased to see you, Birdshaw.
Marvellous to see you. Marvellous to see a Malvern one hasn't seen since the Duke. Welcome back to the family.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So, drinks all round. What's everyone having? To attention, barman. Drinks all round.
And it was drinks all round, and more drinks all round, and backslapping all round, and stories all round.
Remember that Jerry Ron Pritchard took? Refused to carry Ron's gear for him. Said it was against the Geneva Convention. Ron wasn't having that.
First time I had the Calvados, I thought it was poison. We used to try to improve the taste by putting a spoonful of blackcurrant jam. I remember.
In the Jerry Bunker, there was this note in French. See you tonight, dear. Love, Madeline. She never saw him that night. I remember on D-Plus 2.
She was cycling along the promenade. Oh, hell let loose in every direction, and there was Blooming Mademoiselle cycling along the promenade. Like it was Brighton on a Sunday afternoon.
He took out a grenade, and before you could say...
Stuck there he was, on the lavatory.
So the colonel said, Major Morris, he said.
There was this blasted great tiger tank.
And on and on, and all the stories known by heart. And as they went on, the faces I thought I'd never seen before began to take on the shape I knew. Yes, that was Bill and Arthur and Phil and Reg and Sergeant Floyd and Major Morris and Tim. Was that Tim? The Tim, that man drinking the orange juice? That man with thin hair, wet eyes, broken blood vessels? Was that Tim Sewell? The scourge of anything in skirts.
So this wife says, I'll have a punch, he says. So I thought to myself, oh, I'm all right here. I'm in pocket here. One pint will keep her going all night. You know, she matched me pint for pint. That blooming wife had all her legs.
I bet you're the dread of Little Hampton these days, Tim. Bet the birth rate's gone up since you moved there.
Yes, Tim Sewell came back. He had the Clark Gable looks and charm. Lodging with his son-in-law in Littlehampton.
What's your line these days, Birdshaw?
Me? Oh, I run a small office equipment firm.
Office equipment? I thought you was going to be a big Picasso. Drawing was your line, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose we all got diverted.
I remember you did some wonderful pictures. Very good they were.
Of the regiment?
Oh, yes. Portraits he did. And drawings of training and manoeuvres and that.
Good heavens. You must let us have some of those. Always searching for stuff for the magazine. Be popular, I think.
Oh, I haven't got any left, I'm afraid. Destroyed them. Lost them.
Oh, dear. What a shame.
I should never chuck out mementos, you know.
We had a very artistic lot in our billet. What with him and Shakespeare.
Shakespeare?
They leave it, Arthur.
Pete Garrett, sir. They called him Shakespeare because he wrote poetry.
Ah, Garrett. Yes. Poor lad.
Yes.
Terrible business, war. And we only just won it.
Close-run thing, sir.
It was.
I always said your German was a damn good soldier.
He was. I think it's a pity they haven't been asked to this, too. I think they should have been. We're allies now.
Many a German mother lost their son in that fight.
Of course, there were people who thought once Jerry surrendered, we should have joined with their army and turned on the Bolshies. We could have beaten them then.
That's right.
But that's politics. No business of ours.
Don't think I'd have fancied starting up again, sir.
Oh, with you there, Sergeant, yes. I just mean that Britain had the spirit then.
Oh, never was spirit like there was in those days, sir.
I think that's a very fair statement, Tim. Let's drink to the Malvern.
The Malvern.
Oh, hey, sing up, boys, sing up, sing up.
To go, it's a long way to Tipperary.
Lovely day for a crossing. Flat as a pancake.
Very different to last night.
Bit different to last time.
Farewell, Leicester Square. It's a
We spent 2 days off the Isle of Wight. The sea was so thick with ships and landing craft, it looked almost possible to walk ashore. D-Day was meant to be Monday the 5th, but the weather forecast was bad and the thing got postponed. Nobody liked the wait. Apart from anything else, we were like sitting ducks for a Jerry air raid or a torpedo from a passing sub. Oh, yeah. I know it all by heart, too. Mostly we just smoked, talked, lazed about. Major Morris tried running a quiz. I did a drawing of that. And a drawing of Pete writing one of his drivels. Yeah, that's what he used to call them, drivels. Wish I'd learned one by heart, but I never did. The only bit I can remember is one of them started, sod all this. I did a drawing of Bill and Arthur, too, playing poker for invasion francs. And one I liked a lot of Sergeant Floyd, sitting on a capstan, cutting his toenails. I still got them, of course, tucked away somewhere. I just didn't fancy getting them out. Mid-afternoon, we set off. It was then we were told we were going to Normandy. It didn't seem real. It seemed just like a film. Oh, that was the only place I'd seen a battle. But the weather was real. The wind. The rough water was real, by God. The seasickness was real. Below decks, the smell was like a sewer. People were spewing up everywhere. For Christ's sake, get us on dry land. I don't care about mines or shells or gunfire. I just want to get off this bloody boat. Everybody was seasick, even half the crew. Everybody except Pete, that is. Around 4 o'clock, he was cooking the breakfast. He was the only one who was in a fit state. He found me on deck.
Oh, what's the bacon, Dave?
Oh, piss off, please.
Sorry, not funny. How are you?
Must be better soon. Nothing left to come up. Hey, how much further is it?
It won't be long now. Soon start to get light.
Thank God for that.
I'm excited, Dave.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. It's like stage fright, I suppose. Scared to death, but you wouldn't miss it. You're going in.
That's it.
There's nothing else. Put blinkers on your mind.
Shut out everything. We're right, they're wrong. We're good, they're bad. Get in there, do the bloody job.
My share and always well.
At 6 o'clock, the bombardment started. 7:30, we start to move in. Past the destroyers. Christ, the noise of those guns. Flames and smoke from the shore. Like chaos on the water. The order to load. Load! Floating tanks moving in. Oh, my God, one's sinking. And another one. When the ramps go down, make straight for the cover of the seawall. Closer. Closer. There's bodies in the water. Stand ready, the Morverns. Good luck, Pete. Good luck, Dave. Sit, boy. Ramps down.
All right, let's go!
Forward, forward, forward. Down the ramp. Off! Oh, shit and butter. Water up to the armpits. Wait, forward, forward. 70 pounds of bloody equipment. Yeah, get through the water. Where the hell's the shore? Someone's down. Someone's gone. It's Captain Hill. Shit. Get out of the water.
Forward, Dave. Forward.
Go bloody forward. Don't worry about it. God, Pete. They got Johnny Sims.
Don't stop. Get forward.
It's the beach. There's the beach. It's a cock-up. Must be. Bloody chaos everywhere. Burning tanks. Bodies. Bits of bodies. Oh, Christ.
Don't stop! Get the cover of the wall!
Run, run, run! Run, blown up machines. Over dead men. Bloodstained khaki. Oh, guts hanging out. Someone's screaming for help.
To the wall! Get on!
Look. Get on.
Bastards! You bastards!
Pete! Charlie's been hit!
Charlie!
He's dead, Dave! Come on!
On. On. There's a wall there. Take a breather there. Oh, Jesus! There's wire.
Sarge! The wire's not kept! There's a gap over here! Come on, run!
Run, 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 run!
Wait, lads. Down!
All right, Pete.
Must be, mustn't we? We're still alive.
Still alive. And the P&O ferry neared the beaches of France. old comrades return. Oh, perhaps the radio girl was right, and Harry Price was right. Good blokes, good spirit, camaraderie. Perhaps all else was past, and just this left.
Passport, s'il vous plaît. Passport.
We didn't need passports 40 years ago.
They didn't delay our coach for long. They may not be so sweet in the common market, but you couldn't complain about the French on that trip.
Funny, isn't it? We blasted their homes to bits, killed thousands of them, and they're grateful.
We liberated them, Arthur.
Oh, yes, we did. We did that, all right.
My God, I'm knackered.
Oh, so am I.
We were all knackered. I closed my eyes and tried to sleep, like I tried to that first night in a ditch in France.
Churchill?
Huh?
Were you asleep?
Not quite, sir.
Sorry to disturb you, but there's a young lady here. Girl from the radio we gave her a lift to. She's asking about your chum. Garrett, you know?
Pete?
Yes. Seems she met a relative of his on the boat and... Why don't you talk to her about it? I'm sure you can handle it.
Miss Carter, come and meet Mr. Birdshaw.
Seems a nice girl.
Miss Carter, this is Birdshaw. I'll leave you with him.
Thank you. Oh, hello. We've met before, haven't we?
That's right.
Oh, do you mind if I sit down?
No.
Oh, it's very kind of you. I found everyone's been so helpful. I've managed to record some wonderful stories. Anyway, I gather you were a friend of Peter Garrett's.
I was his best friend, yes.
Oh, that's marvellous.
Look, this can't be right about relatives. His parents are dead. He had no one else.
Ah, but he did, you see. This man I met is Peter's son.
His son?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, he didn't have a son. Must be a different Peter Garrett.
No, I don't think so. You see, Peter didn't know he had a son. The son was born after Peter was killed.
No. Oh, no, that's not possible. I mean, apart from anything else, I knew his parents. Well, I think they'd have told me if they'd had a grandson.
Well, they didn't know either. That's what makes it all such a wonderful story. And that's why I want to follow it up. Listen, this man's name's Simon. His mother was called Shirley Arkwright.
Shirley Arkwright?
Yes, she was Peter's girlfriend.
I know. Good God. But he said...
Hmm?
it doesn't matter.
She didn't know she was pregnant until after she heard the news. She was only 17.
Yes, yeah, I know.
When her parents found out, they quickly moved the family somewhere else where they wouldn't be known, where they could lie about Shirley's age and say she'd been widowed by the war.
I knew they'd move.
See, Simon didn't know the truth till his mother died. That was only this year. He found some letters when he was turning things out, love letters from Peter. Made it obvious they'd never been married, and it was his grandmother who told him the rest. Makes it all sound like the cabinet papers. 40 years have passed, now it can be told.
How old is he, this son?
39.
Yeah. Yeah, he would be nearly twice Pete's age. I mean, when he died.
He's got a daughter of 19.
Bloody hell. Oh, excuse my language.
You should hear mine.
So, Pete's a grandfather.
That's right.
Grandfather. Aged 20 years, 7 months.
Strange, isn't it?
But why was... No, I mean, what's he here for? Why was this man on the boat?
Well, he wants to see his father's grave. He knew from the letters his father was in the Morvans, and the War Office told him where the grave is.
Good God.
See, before I'd met him, I'd been talking to some of your friends, so I knew the Morvans were on the ship. You should introduce yourself, I said. They're very nice people, bound to be somebody who knew your father. But he wouldn't. He's too shy. Anyway, I told him about your service tomorrow and the parade you're having, and I said I thought he really should be there, and how pleased you'd all be if he was there. And I think I might well have persuaded him. So, with a bit of luck, we'll all meet up and I can get you together and round off my story. It'll make a very good story, it really will.
Oh, why can't people like you mind your own damn business? Honestly, you make me sick.
Sorry?
Hey, miss!
Yes?
Someone back here like a parley-boo with you. That's all you need, Tim.
Good old Tim.
Come on, get in there, Tim.
Oh, leave off, will you? You'll have to watch him, miss. He's a devil when he's ready.
Miss, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude.
Oh, good heavens, don't mention it.
Billeted, yes, billeted. We put up in some sort of school. I was put in a room with Bill, Arthur and Tim. They used to snore. Well, I couldn't remember. Pete did. Said it was because he had sinus trouble. And Pete had a son. Oh, go to sleep, go to sleep. Don't think about Pete.
Pete, you asleep?
Of course I am.
You asleep, Dave?
Oh, don't be bloody daft.
How the hell can you sleep with this racket going on?
That's my guts crumbling. I think it's that pork.
No, I warned you, didn't I?
I warned you, didn't I? You remind me of Tim Tabernacle Tranter.
God. Tim Tabernacle Tranter. Scripture.
Every time he gave me a detention, he always said it. I warned you, didn't I?
Tim Tabernacle Tranter. Yeah, he's up there now looking down at us.
Comes a nasty shock to him if he's down there looking up at us.
Christ.
Hold your nose, Dave. That was Bill blowing off.
Definition of an optimist.
I don't know what they say. You're all right till it's got your number on it. Our number's 10,008,400.
Oh, shut up. Yes, shut up. Sorry, Sarge.
You've got 3 hours if you're lucky. I'll make the most of it. You'll be sorry tomorrow you don't sleep now.
So what are we doing tomorrow, Sarge?
What do you fancy? Tea at the Café Royal? We're doing what we're paid for, killing cherries. Now get...
Sarge, the Major wants a word.
Oh, shit. I'm coming. Get your bloody heads down.
You killed anyone yet?
How the hell do I know?
I think I got a couple in that village.
Oh, too less to ever go at us.
Yeah.
Only way to look at it.
Are you cold?
Not too bad.
I'm pretty frozen. Need a woman to warm you up.
Chance would be a fine thing.
You had your chance last leave. Should have taken it.
You warm me up, said Tim Tavern. I'll try to get me.
Yeah, shut up.
God's sake, go to sleep.
Night, Pete.
Pete didn't snore that night. I know, because I didn't sleep at all. I don't know whether he did or not. Sleep here, though. Oh, yes. And Pete's got a son. Oh, don't think about his son. And eventually I must have slept. And the last thing I thought of was mourning and having to talk to Pete's son. The service was in a little Norman church. A lovely old place. Must have been one of the few buildings we'd left standing in that small seaside village when we'd come ashore. The choir was French, and the vicar, of course, and the mayor with his sash of the Légion d'honneur. Oh, and there were French civilians at the back. But most of the pews were set aside for men from the regiments who'd landed there. Some were near empty. Some were full. Very smart turnout all round, though. Suits, blazers, medals worn across the chest. Regimental colours on display at the front, and adjacent to them, the flags of France. Yes, it was very dignified. and quite moving. It was. At first, I'd found it hard to concentrate, though. My eyes were on the move to see if he was there. I'd recognize him, wouldn't I? Of course I would. Be bound to, surely. No, he couldn't be there. There was no one he could be. I was disappointed, wasn't I? I wanted to see him, but not to talk to him. No. No. Was it day two we went to the orchard? No, day three, wasn't it? Oh, good God, I'm forgetting. Never talked about it, I suppose that's why. Wouldn't have to now, because he stayed away. Yes, I wanted to see him, but I'm glad he didn't come. I didn't have to look round. I knew it was him. Oh, yes. Don't know how I was sure. It didn't really look like Pete. Looked like a fairly smart insurance clerk. And he wore glasses. Well, that seemed very strange. Pete never wore glasses. And of course, Pete was young. Younger than his son. For a moment, we knelt in private prayer. I glanced across again. He was looking round. I looked away before he caught my eye. Then the colours were paraded down the aisle. The dignitaries went out, and we had to follow. There wasn't any alternative. I let him go first and watched the back of his head as we walked to the porch, down the steps, and into the sunshine. It was a lovely day. People stood about the graveyard chattering, waiting to form up into the parade. Perhaps if we could move off quick enough.
Mr. Birdshaw! Mr. Birdshaw!
Oh, hello!
This is Simon Garrett. He came.
Ah, how'd you do? I hope I'm not, I hope it's all right me turning up like this.
Oh, don't be silly, of course.
My father was in the regiment.
Yes, yes, I know.
And I have told Mr. Birdshaw all about you.
Ah, well, then you know my name's not really Garrett. Well, it is, legally. But only because my mother changed her name by deed poll before I was born.
I see.
You knew my father, then?
He knew your father very well.
Yes. Well, I'm David Birdshaw.
David? Are you Dave?
Yes, that's right.
Good heavens. Well, I really am... I'm so pleased to meet you. I've read my father's letters, you see. He was always writing about you.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, we were good friends. I was very sorry to hear about your mother.
Thank you.
I only met her once, quite briefly.
She was a wonderful woman.
Yes, I'm sure.
Mulberns! Mulberns! Parade's forming up! All in the Mulberns!
Ah, no. Looks as though I've
got to... Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a nuisance.
No, no. Good heavens. Look. Come in the parade. We're going down to the war memorial, I believe.
No, I don't think I'd better.
Of course you're sure. You're representing your father. Don't be daft. Come on.
Why did I say that? I didn't want him to go. That's why I didn't want to have to talk. But I know I didn't want him to go.
Not bad, not bad. Pretty good, I saw.
Mulberns, by the left. Quick! March!
And off we went. Down the lane and towards the sea. The drums of the boys' band leading the way.
Oh, dear. I don't know how to march.
Don't bother. Just stroll. That's what most people are doing.
Where's Miss Carter got to?
Don't fret about her. She'll be stuck with the civvies behind.
Lots of helicopters about.
A lot of VIPs over here today. Not 40 years ago.
We're in the army, but you left me.
I suppose you were with my father when it happened.
Yes, yes, I was.
Ah.
Let's leave that alone.
Bill, have you got the wreath?
Wreath? I see the wreath. Sorry, sir, ribbit. It's in the coach.
Well, we've got to have it.
Shall I not get it?
Well, how long will it take?
Oh, panic, sir, just a couple of ticks. The coach is marked on the front.
Better fall out quickly, then.
Sir.
That sounds like what we call a cocker.
Oh, dear. Well, I hope not.
Seems a nice lad. Lad.
I mean, what I don't want to do, Mr. Birdshaw, is be a bore. It must have all been terrible, I realise that. I don't want to go around asking a lot of questions that make you bring back things you try to forget. I don't want to do that.
Thank God, it's going to be all right.
I've never been in a war. I can't imagine it. I respect you all so much. Oh. I really do.
Oh, well, yes, it's going to be all right. And it's good to see him.
Right! Halt! Right, move to the left. Left, turn. Right, send that. Eight.
As one man, that was.
Well, very nearly. Well, do you need the wreath?
Right, right, and then, halt.
Ce monument commémoratif est un souvenir des soldats valeureux qui combattaient et qui mouraient pour la libération de notre ville et de la France.
This memorial is dedicated to the brave soldiers who fought and died for the liberation of this town and of France.
At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them.
Quand le soleil a disparu, même quand le jour se lève, nous les souviendrons.
Glanced across at Simon. His glasses were misty. He was crying. Why wasn't it Pete standing there? We stood rigid, staring towards the memorial. I noticed Major Morris's body was shaking. Not easy to stand that still, not for a man of his age. And I realized I was shaking too. After the reveille, the mayor stepped forward, laid a wreath and saluted. Major Morris stepped forward, laid a wreath and saluted. Then the band struck up the Queen.
Thank you.
went into thy choicest gifts in store, I glanced across at Simon. His glasses were still misty, but he couldn't help smiling. I smiled back. Pete, of course, would have been falling about. But Pete was that sort. Still, Simon had a bit of his sense of humour. I liked him. I'd never been to a Van Donner before. Lots of wine bottles on white cloth-covered trestle tables all set up in a garden. People chatting, drinking, telling more yarns. Music played from a tannoy fixed on top of a car. I'd lost sight of Simon for a bit. He'd been very quiet on the way to the Van Donner, and when we arrived, he said he'd got to find a loo. Was that an excuse? Had he got nerves and run away? I wandered about holding a glass of wine, trying to pretend to myself I wasn't looking for him. And all the time, picking up bits of talk.
So I offered the little blighter a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And what do you think? He asked for the packet. They don't change, do they?
No.
Cigarettes, poor papa, chocolate, poor mamma. You remember that? I tell you, they don't change.
We're looking for a campsite. No, you're not, he said. You're staying with me. Took us to this wonderful house in Cannes.
A white flat in Cannes.
Yeah, we did. Come and go as you like, he said. For as long as you like, he said. Gave us the key at the door. And the meal last night. 4 hours we were eating. Different wine with each course. I tell you, I've never had such lovely
grub. Remember those ducks on a farm, Pond?
Oh, yeah.
Special of buggies. We could only get 5. Last one was too damn clever. The others roasted beautiful, though.
Oh, then I saw him. Nearly hidden behind a group of people, standing by a trestle table, holding a glass of wine and staring into space. Hello, Simon. I thought you'd got lost.
Oh, no. No, I've been around. No, I've just been thinking. You know, about that memorial and the ceremony there. I get a shiver every time I think about it.
Ah, I know what you mean.
And I was having a bit of a chat with your Major Morris. Told him what a wonderful bunch of men he seemed to have. How very nice everyone was being to me. You often read about that spirit in wartime, don't you? How it brings out the best in people, draws them together. When I see you all here, I can understand that. Oh, I hope I'm not embarrassing you. It's probably the wine. It is true, I'm sure, though. Nevertheless.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So it's no good me being shy about it. I've got to find out everything I can. What was he like? I don't mean as a soldier. Major Morris was saying how proud of him he was. But he's proud of all of you. Bound to be. I mean as a person. What was he like?
He was the best person I ever knew. Best friend I ever had. And he died for Pete.
Blimey. What a wonderful thing to say. I'm sure he'd have done the same for you.
Oh, there you are. I've been looking for you. Listen, terrific news. The coach is going up to Richelieu Orchards, where you fought the big battle. We're going to look round.
Underneath the lamplight by the barricade, darling, I remember the way you used to wait. Was there that you whispered?
Just a moment, please. Just a moment, please.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, gentlemen.
And lady.
And lady.
Keep her away from tea.
We've all enjoyed the wine, and I just want to explain what's going on.
Yeah.
For the sake of those who weren't there, we're going to visit the Richelieu Orchards, where we were positioned between D plus 3 and D plus 5, and which was the location of one of our greatest battle honours.
Say that again. I was telling
you. All right, Arthur, that's fine. We knew, of course, that the enemy would try to counterattack, try and drive us back into the sea. And it was on a ridge opposite the Richelieu Orchards that a strong panzer force had been amassed. It was our task to hold them off.
We held them off, didn't we? Held them off!
All right, Arthur. I'm speaking.
Sorry, sir.
Now,
When you see the Richo orchards today.
So lovely, isn't it? So peaceful.
Yeah. Can't imagine there was ever a battle here.
Major Morris.
Is Birdshaw? Hmm. Is it true that's Garrett's son over there?
Yes.
Bloody hell. Bit dodgy, isn't it?
No need to be.
Oh, no. Oh, well, I won't. No.
Of course, all the trees were shattered. It's like a moonscape here.
I can imagine that.
Except for that elm, sir.
Oh, yeah. The elm is... Oh, no, not that way, no. I'm afraid that's Arthur relieving himself.
Oh.
Rather copious wine.
Yes. Ah, the elm's over there. When we took the orchard, there was a sniper up there. We got him, but he got caught up in the branches. Then Jerry opened up from the ridge, and we had to take cover and couldn't get him down. After 3 days, he wasn't a pleasant smell.
Dead bodies, dead cows, dead horses, dead pigs. Oh, God, war is a disgusting smell.
So this is where Simon's father was, then?
Yes, sort of, yes.
And it was here he was killed?
Quite nearby, yes.
I'd be very grateful if you'd tell me about it.
Tell him about it? What about the recce patrol?
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Need a recce?
Yes, sir.
Must find out the enemy's strength?
Yes, sir.
Under cover of darkness?
Sir.
Take 4 men?
Sir.
4 volunteers? You, you, and you. Bill, Arthur, Pete, and me. On our bellies in the field. Pitch black. Dead cow. Brush against it. Forward. Forward. Shh. Still. Somebody ahead. Hear something. Someone. Crowds. Is it crowds? Sweat under my helmet. Don't move. Don't breathe. No, daft. It's nothing. Right, let's... Fall back! Fall back!
What is it? Where are you at?
Leave me. Get back. They're aiming blind. Hit the deck.
Come on. It is that way. Zigzag.
Don't get off. Leave me.
Don't be bloody daft.
They wouldn't leave me. I don't remember much, except the pain, of course. But somehow, they got me across that field. Jerry machine gun blasting away. God knows how the others didn't get hit. Got me into the ditch. Patched me up enough to keep me alive. Trouble was, by that time, it was nearly dawn.
Yeah, sitting ducks in the daylight. Get caught out there.
Yeah.
No way they'd have got back with me to carry. Anyway, I was really pretty badly shot up. Don't think I'd have survived the run. But if we'd all stayed there, they'd have got us all for sure. Far too near their positions. So I ordered them to go. Put Bill in charge as a senior soldier. When it got light, I waved a white handkerchief, and bingo, that was the end of my war. Alive, though. And I wouldn't have been if those lads left me in the field. They deserve a medal, all of them. But they got one, of course. The DCM.
So my father won a medal?
Well, not your father, no. He was killed before they were awarded, you see. The sergeant couldn't put in his report until he was released.
I was freed by the Ruskies, March 45.
By that time, of course, your father...
Yes, I see.
Don't they award medals posthumously?
Not in a case like this.
Oh.
I see.
I see. See the crawl back towards the orchard. See the dawn beginning to come. See the flame from the guns as the bombardment begins. Shells screaming above us. Bursting around us. Earth exploding. Filling the air. Still half a mile to go. Getting light. They'll see us. 400 yards. 300. 200.
Run for it, run!
It's the bloody dead! Down! Get down!
This cold! Where's your guts? Not far, let's run!
My bloody guts are in my head. Use yours, you fool! You get up and run. You're dead. It's too late for it. You'll be in that sight.
Sleeping! Sit down! You can't stay here. Don't be stupid. Come on, it's 100 yards!
It's 200! Stay down! I'm giving the orders.
Come on, Dave, we're going.
You're staying here! Come on, get your ass in there.
I'm going on.
You're not. No stand a chance.
It's Frank Pete.
Come on, in the crater. Come on.
So where was the crater?
We're just coming to it. Yeah, it's about here, I think.
A bit over here, surely. What do you think, Birchall?
I can't really tell. I don't seem to recognise any of it.
Amazing how they've put it to rights. Covered in craters it was.
Looks so ordinary, no?
That's right. No, I can't say the exact spot, I'm afraid.
But it was roughly where we're standing now.
That's it.
Good Lord.
Well, that's where the Jerrys were firing from, over there. That's the orchard where our boys were dug in.
It's so near, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just a sprint if you was Jesse Owens.
But you couldn't make it.
Not now that it was light. No cover at all. Be dead before we'd taken a step.
Yeah.
He stood looking down at the earth, as if our crater was still there, somewhere below, as if his father was there. We stood watching him. He spoke without looking up.
How was he killed?
Sniper's bullet. He was trying to see what was going on.
Ah.
He's buried in the cemetery at Rise.
Yeah, I know. You were such a friend of his, Mr. Birdshaw. Would you take me there?
I looked at him. Then I looked at the others. Then back at him. Then I turned and walked away as quick as I could.
Mr. Birdshaw?
Birdshaw!
Is something wrong?
Why don't you sod off and leave it alone?
I hurried through the orchard, down the track to the road and stuck up my thumb for a lift. The first car stopped. The French have never been nicer than they were then. I tried to listen to his praise for the magnificent Liberation Army, but all I wanted to do was get to that school, pack my bag and get the ferry to England and home. I got to the school. The door was locked.
How the hell do I get into this place?
Pardon, monsieur.
How would she know? Just a kid passing in the road. She doesn't speak English.
Bravo, les soldats anglais. Bravo.
Merci beaucoup.
Sit on the garden seat and wait. Can't be long. Have a fag. Forty-1 hours we were in that crater. It wasn't so much a crater, more a dent in the ground. Like a baby's sandpit, only it wasn't sand. About 18 inches deep, I suppose, round 10 foot in diameter. Couldn't get up, or even sit. Just lay on your back, or your stomach, or your side, and keep as close to the ground as you could so you wouldn't be spotted from the ridge. Oh, room for four for a little while. But 41 hours. Shells over your head. Shells bursting round, mortars, tracers. They never stopped, or only to tease you. And then they started again. Don't lift your head to look, or you're dead. Had our emergency rations, of course, but when you had to relieve yourself, all you could do was crawl to one end of the crater and try to do what you had to, laying on your side. First day was bad, but not too bad, because if a shell didn't blow us up first, we thought we'd make it to the orchard at night. And there wasn't a night, not in any sense. The moon was so bright you could have read a book by it. It was a sniper's paradise. And the tracers and shells, they lit up the sky like some horrific firework display. Yes, they were aiming for the orchard, but when they fell short, the ground under us shook like there was an earthquake and the dirt and the stones fell all over us. Any second, it seemed, we must get a direct. And the noise. God, it was terrifying. Pete was lying next to me. At first, I thought he was shivering. And then I realized he was sobbing without any noise. My mate, Pete, never been half so frightened as me, and here he was, sobbing like a kid. The others didn't notice anything at first because, like I say, he wasn't making a noise and the guns were making God's only din. I put my arm on his back to try and comfort him. It was no good. Shaking went on and on. Suddenly two shells crashed right beside us, like a volcano burst over our heads. Then Pete started to scream, and he couldn't stop.
Shut him up! Birchett, shut him up! Pete! Don't get up, you fool! Keep down! Shut up!
Hey, Pete, it stopped.
It's all right, Pete. It stopped.
Start again, you know it will.
Wait, not for a bit. Now, come on. Come back over here. And don't get up, for God's sake.
I'm going.
Don't be daft, not in this moonlight.
I can't stay here, I can't. It won't be long, Pete. You can't go. I got to.
Keep down, you'll get shot.
I don't care, I can't stay here, I'm going. Don't be a bloody fool.
Listen, Pete, listen. You go. You get shot, that's your business, all right? They see you get out of here, they'll think it's an observation post. They'll be trained on us before you can say knife. They won't miss us then. You've got to bloody keep down.
You're for me! I'm not!
Grab him!
Pete, come here, you daft bugger! No, get off! I'm firing this! Get off!
Don't point that gun at me, you stupid fart.
Pete, don't be daft.
Put it down, Pete.
Go away! I can't stay. You try to stop me, I'll shoot.
Give me that bloody... Jesus! You raving maniac. That was an inch from me.
Don't come near me.
Oh, my God. He's trying the bloody twist.
Pete!
It's your fault. You're starting to get out. It's going out of gun. It's your fault.
Put that down. Put that down.
I'll show you.
Monsieur, vous voulez entrer? To enter?
Oh, yes, please, yes.
Pardon, j'ai la clé. You enter, maintenant.
Thank you.
Bravo, les Anglais!
I went up to the room and started to pack. It didn't take long. I hadn't brought much. I was just picking up the case when Bill came in.
Where are you going?
Home.
What for?
Because I want to.
You're not taking that kid to the cemetery, then?
Kid? He's hardly a kid. He's only 40, Bill. He's quite capable of going to the cemetery on his own.
He wanted you to go with him. You were Pete's best friend. I think you should have done.
Look, Bill, I've had enough of all this sham. All things sham. The singing, the dancing, the meals, the Van Donner, the last bloody post, good old veterans, hearts of oak. Sham. All sham.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is to me. Great sentimental sliver slopper. I wasn't a wonderful hero then, nor am I a soldier now. Marching with medals on my chest, looking over battlefields, swelling with pride. I didn't deserve any medals then, and I'm only a civvy now. I'm a rather small-time businessman who's trying to make a living in 1984. That's my world now. And it has nothing to do with this... clinging on to glory, 40 years old, and asking the world to cheer us for that.
Nobody asks anyone to cheer us, Birchall.
War is a filthy, disgusting thing, and everybody in it gets a bit filthy and disgusting, too.
You think I don't know that?
If you don't, you should. You watch Pete Garrett shoot himself. You were in that crater all next day with his body lying beside us there. When the sun came out and it got hot... the flies all settling all over him. When we hacked away with the entrenching tool to try to get the earth to cover him.
And all the time this shelling went on. Oh, yes, Bill, after that bloody night and day, you should know how disgusting it is.
There are thousands of blokes at nights like that and days like that. All right, Pete Garrett shot himself. I might have shot him if he hadn't. You might have done too. You had your gun aimed at him, finger on the trigger, safety catch off, and you was terrified of him like we all were. You could see in his eyes he was off his rocker. If he'd moved to fire at me again, you'd have killed him before he had the chance. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Would have saved my life. Should have made you my hero. But he wouldn't have. You'd have done it by instinct. You could see damn well state he was in. He'd likely blasted all of us. Your guts turned over and you'd have fired. Self-preservation, that's all that is. No. You'd never be my hero. You couldn't be my hero because you pissed me off. Always did a bit. That's why I called you bird shit. You were a bit above us, you and him. Thought yourself so anyway. Bit artistic, both of you. Touch of the cynicals and that. You may be in office equipment now, but you haven't bloody changed in that respect. War is disgusting. What do you think we are, thickos? Of course it is. And you have to be disgusting to win. And I'm telling you, Birchall, we had to win because the Nazi lot were very, very, very disgusting. You do not beat a gang of sods like that with please and thank you and wearing white gloves. I think you've forgotten what we fought for. Fought for. And if you think I come back here for flag waving and Van Donners, then you, my friend, are one notch thicker than even I gave you credit for. I come back here because I survived. And I feel a bond of gratitude to those who didn't and who lie in this ground. I come to thank them. And you can bleed that boy or stuff it up your ass.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Pete Garrett shot himself. He wasn't Pete Garrett when he did that. He wasn't human. He was animal. And I don't blame him, because I nearly was. So we're most to get caught in a hell like that. I respect that poor devil more than I respect you. He's one of my heroes, you want to know. He didn't do what hundreds have. Shove their hand in the line of fire, try and get some minor wound put on the boat for home. He didn't cheat like that. He stayed there till he broke. That took some spunk, and I'm proud of him. Do you think he wanted a crack up? Do you think it was any fault of his? Of
course it wasn't his fault. And I'm proud of him. What I can't take is all this sham. If everyone's so proud of him, why do we have to have some official version? Where the hell can it be the truth?
Well, I thought you were daft, but not as daft as that. Would you have told his mum and dad their little Peter had shot himself? What mattered to them was he was dead. No comfort to them to know the rest. They weren't over here. How could they understand? Well, perhaps you'd have had it in the papers, too. British soldiers are shooting themselves. What a wonderful boost to all the lads who are waiting to come over and join in the fight. You lie in a war. What else can you do? You send the blokes off with flags and bands and Monty's words and stories of heroes and all that crap. If they knew the truth, every bugger would run. And they can't run, or we wouldn't win. And we had to win, or God preserve us if we'd lost. What's one little lie about Pete Garrett matter? They said, killed in action. For God's sake, he was. So were thousands and thousands of others. And that's why I'm here. And if it's not why you're here, then you, my friend, should have stayed at home.
The cemetery at Rise. A beautiful place. Miles from anywhere. Very green. Very peaceful. Grass like a carpet. Little shield of trees to keep it cool, and nothing else but fields all round. Not one of the bigger war cemeteries. I read somewhere there's 500,000 of our lot buried in France. From both world wars, I suppose that is. Only 500 or 600 here. Graves in neat rows. Clean headstones, all identical. Except for the inscriptions, of course.
C.J. Jones. Royal Scots Fusiliers, died 6th June 1944. aged 19. In memory, we shall keep him as long as the years roll on. His loving wife, Mabel, and little daughter, Anne. Ian Casey, Royal Engineers. 25th of June, 1944, age 24. For thou art our beloved son, in whom we are well pleased. Mum and Dad. Trooper Taylor, SW, age 22. He believed in England. Didn't talk much about it, but died to keep her free. A soldier of the Second World War known unto God. Soldier of the Second World War known unto God. Sailor of the Second World War known unto God. A victim of the Second World War known unto God. D.P. Miller, age 22. Through mud and gore to the green hills beyond. Age 23. Age 19. Age 20. Age 29. God, that seems almost old. No one knows the pain, only these can tell. Whoever lost a loved one without a last farewell. Loving wife and daughter, mum, dad and brothers. Known unto God. Known unto God. Lance Corporal Jones, age 20. Oh, for the touch of a vanished hand. And the sound of a voice that is gone. Peter Garrett. The Morvan's 10th of June, 1944, age 20. We shall always remember you smiling. Mum and Dad. Always remember you smiling. Oh, Pete.
Hello. Oh.
Hello, Simon.
You did come, then?
Yeah, I... You know, I'm sorry about the... Well, you know...
Oh, no. It was my fault. I mean... He was your best friend. I didn't have the pain of being there when he died. I shouldn't have brought back the memories. I quite understand.
Thank you.
It's a lovely stone. I've been here earlier, but I had to come back for another look. I'm glad I did know you're here.
Good. Your father was a brave man.
Thank you. That's what everyone says. We shall always remember you smiling. Is that how you remember him?
Oh, yes.
We walked back down the path together.
I'm going to Aramorsh tomorrow for the parade in front of the Queen. Should be a wonderful sight. You'll be there, of course.
Oh, well...
Oh, look. Someone's laid a wreath on the memorial. Just want to have a look. It says... Life, to be sure, is nothing much to lose. But young men think it is. And we were young. Oh, my God.
Yes, Simon. I'll be there. I marched beside Bill, and I marched for Pete. And yes, it was something I won't forget. There seemed an endless column of us. Down the hill we came and into the square. The beach was on our left, and what remained of Mulberry Harbour. Crowds all round us. And on our right, the Queen and the Duke. When we passed the saluting base, I saw Simon in the crowd. He was standing beside the radio girl who was spouting away into her mic. Simon just looked full of pride for Pete. Dear Pete. I reported back to Harry Price. He got a video of the parade, of course, and showed it to me several times. And he gave me the contract. Yes, I'm glad I went back. I didn't go this year, but I shall go again. I don't agree with all Bill said. But a lot of it, yes. Anyway, I must go back and see Pete. I shall always remember you smiling.
Up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you've a Lucifer to light your fag, smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile.
In The Road to Normandy by Douglas Livingstone, the part of Dave was played by Ronald Pickup. Pete, Mick Ford. Bill, Douglas Livingstone. Arthur, Sam Kelly. Sergeant Floyd, Stephen Thorne. Major Morris, David Sinclair. Tim, Garrard Green. Simon, Trevor Nichols. Thelma, Brenda Blethyn. Mary, Tessa Worsley. Harry Price, David Garth. With Gwen Cherrill, John Church, Richard Durden, Adrian Egan, Ronald Herdman, Gordon Reed, Christopher Scott, Robin Summers, and Alan Thompson. Location effects were recorded by Richard Beedsmore, technical presentation by David Greenwood, assisted by Richard Beedsmore and Roz Mason. The play was directed by Jane Morgan.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. While you've a Lucifer to light your fag, smile, boys, that's the style. What's the use of worrying? It never was worthwhile. So pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile.